What a joy to be here with you this morning again. And you know, when I thought of what already happened today throughout the world, yesterday, tomorrow, the Lord tarries, people are worshiping. Every person that has come to years of accountability has an instinct within to worship. And billions of people are worshiping an idol or a tree or a building, or the list goes on and on what they will worship and have worshiped today, possibly, and will continue to worship. But you know, all of those people that are worshiping, this morning I want to introduce to you the only one that has risen on the first day of the week and is alive forevermore, and his name is Jesus Christ. Friends, that thrills me, that we have something living, something eternal that we can worship. There's nothing else around. You see billions of people, very sincere people, worshiping. Yes. That's with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Those Jews, they were worshiping. They did everything to worship God right, but they want to do it outside of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't work. Never will. Well, this morning I have a quote for you. I've entitled my message, "What Are You Building On?" And the quote of the morning is, "Passive fathers produce aggressive mothers and confused children." Passive fathers produce aggressive mothers and confused children. Then I have a poem. A builder built a temple. He wrought it with care and skill. Pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to work his will. And men said as they saw the beauty, "It shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder. Thy fame shall endure for aye." A mother builded a temple with infinite loving care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with a prayer. Not praised her unceasing effort, none knew her wondrous plan. For the temple the mother builded was unseen by the eye of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumble into dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the mother builded will last while the ages roll. For that beautiful unseen temple was a child's immortal soul. And I trust that's what's in your heartbeat this morning, mothers and fathers, you know. So you're building on something that has an eternal soul. You know, your children have an eternal soul, heading towards eternity in one place or the other. And that makes parenting a very sobering and yet a very joyous time. You may think, well, you're in the heat of it this morning, and you have many young parents here, and God bless you. And there are a lot of things that go with parenting. I'm not saying it's all easy, no. But so soon they're gone. So soon they're gone. We brought some pictures of our families, not because we're such a great family, but we brought them because they all love the Lord. And they're leftovers from a wedding we had two years ago. Our three boys all married in 2 months' time. So and somehow they made too many pictures, and so we thought, well, we'll give them to you. Call them prayer cards. How's that? If you want one, help yourself and pray for us. We always are in need of prayer. Especially when I think of, was it 3 or 4 years ago, our youth always go to Ottawa. And they were gone. We didn't go along that time. And towards the end, we had company, and we got a call. And they said, pray. Because there's a lot of rumpus going on. And so, okay. Excuse me. Within a couple of minutes or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't know, the phone rang again. And they said, our son is stabbed on the way to the hospital. I'm saying this to remind us that life is very fleeting, and treasure the moments you have. There's a lady that they were singing on the street, and this lady came up to one of the oldest son and said, so does God love lesbians? And he said, oh yes, God loves lesbians. He died for them. And so she said, can lesbians go to heaven? And it said, yes, if they repent. And she got mad. She went and slapped him on both sides of the cheek before he even knew what was going on, you know. And then she grabbed a chair close by and was going to swing it at him too. And then he's a big fella, so he put his hand out and stopped the chair. But then she went over to the table where they had the CDs and Bibles on, and she wanted to throw the Bibles she wanted to flip the table, and then our other son was there, and he just hung onto the table, so she couldn't do much there. But then she went and swished everything off and ran off. And so they were thinking of what they do, and of course they called home and told the congregation to pray. You know, what should they be doing now? That's a major disturbance, you know, when you're singing and witnessing for God. And so they were trying to piece the puzzle together and wrap up and pick up the stuff of the ground. And while they were doing this, this same lady changed her dress to all black. All black, the devil's color. I mean, I'm not against black suits and stuff, but I am against dressing all in black. Black shirts and black pants and black suit and everything black. It reminds me of the demonic world. And she came back. And she dressed in black for the reason, because the demonic world dresses in all black for certain occasions. And she came back and got the knife out and rammed it into our backs, in our son's back, you know. Inch away from the spine, an inch away from the lung. 3 inches in. And turned around and took off. She's still on the loose. Pray for her that she can come. We're not out to apprehend her, to put her behind bars, but we're praying for her soul's salvation, that she can come to know Jesus Christ. All reformatories in the world won't change a person unless they come to Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. Yeah. So pray for her. So anyway, our three boys, our three boys got married in 2 months' time. And, you know, they're a very short time with you, you know. The older son we had with us at 28 years, and looking back, really? But there's always, and we men stop praying for our children just because they are now have their own homes. In fact, we have to pray just as much as ever because they're not home yet. They're not home yet. Yeah, there's tremendous onslaught against the body of believers in our day, and it'll get worse in the U.S., and it'll get worse in Canada. I'm no prophet, but the world is starting to be very hateful against godly people. Just like in the early church there, they didn't like to be reminded that they need a Savior. Well, coming down here and traveling across the globe, at times you see some old and some new, some well-kept homes, and some where the siding is falling off, and others where the roof is caved in. You see some houses where houses once stood. You have Hurricane Michael. We had a fellow at home that said he goes down there to Mexico City, I believe, in Florida, every winter to spend his winter. He said, the house where they rented, it's gone. It's gone. Disappeared. You know, storms are increasing and so forth. But I already saw pictures of mansions, you know, along the coast of California, if it be. Perhaps, you know, half of it is over the edge, you know, or half of it is already broken off and gone down into the ocean because they build it too close to the edge. Half has slid down. The other half is still standing, good to nobody. And my heart goes out to these individuals who put so much effort and energy and money into something that in the end is collapsed. I heard and saw of buildings, you know, with cracks in the walls and something shifted underneath, making the building unlivable. In America, as a person travels, I can usually see in the distance whether it's a barn or whether it's a house or a shed. But most countries in the world, you cannot detect the difference until you're there. No. I think of Haiti. I think of Liberia, Africa. And you can go on and on throughout most of the world, like I said. And you look closely and you say, well, it has to be a pen for a sheep or for goats. And you come a little closer and you realize that it wouldn't stand up with goats, for sure. Goats are very aggressive. If there's something loose, they'll get a looser. That's their nature. Yes. But you know, as you walk a little closer to these shacks, as it were, and then your ears perk up and say, as you hear a song possibly drifting from there, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I will sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. Yeah. Looking into that shack, I question, what is there to sing about? What is there to sing about? Nothing convenient inside at all, not even the necessities, like knowing of where the next meal comes from. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verses 24 to the end. Matthew 7, verse 24. Let's get it straight. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and the beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There are only three kinds of people in the world today. You're either part of the bride, or a Jew, or a Gentile. Only three kinds. Only there's one wise and the other is foolish. Did you know that both of these houses that were built likely with the same architecture, possibly the same design, look beautiful on the outside, wonderful to live in. And today, every person that has has come to years of accountability is building on something. Either it will last or it will fall. There's either one or the other this morning that you're building on, if you've come to years of accountability. Jesus says, you will be building and you will either be wise or foolish this morning. The way parents relate to their children, the way children relate to their parents, what you do with your leisure time, how you act in courtship, how you start your home and how you keep your home, what you allow and not allow, and it starts all over again with the next generation. And it goes on and on. You're busy, your business or your busyness, what are you building for? What is your goal this morning, dear people? What will make you wise or foolish? And it all depends on what you're willing to do with what you hear, according to the Word of God. In verse 24, Jesus states those words, whosoever shall that hears, whoever knows, has heard, been shown from this book, the inspired Word of God, whoever the Holy Spirit has nudged and spoken to, and he is willing to do them, is like a wise man. And who is a wise man this morning? It says very, very clearly in James, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. It says, who is a wise man? James chapter 3, 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality, and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's what James calls wisdom. That's what James calls a wise man, will show by his good conduct, and will walk and his walk of life will show of where he is building on, and not only that, but what he is building for. You know. This morning, what are you building for? As we become doers of the word, again back to James 4:17. Are we a doer of the word this morning? It says, James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. If you have heard the word, if you have read it, if you have seen it lived, you are without excuse this morning. For what you make of it shows whether you're a wise or a foolish, whether you're building for heaven or for hell. We'd say this morning, we're not building for hell. No. Most of the world wouldn't say, and yet there are a lot of songs coming out that people sing that I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to enjoy myself with my buddies. Really? Yeah. A person that sings those songs is also going there, but the end will be different than what he expects. Back again to Matthew 7:21-23, it says this, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And this is Jesus going to be someday saying that to many, many people, many, many church-going people, many religious people. He said, I never knew you. What a sad, sad words to hear, the saddest words that could ever become. Before a man, when your life, you're going to great efforts, you're doing everything right, you're trying to do everything right, on your own merits. And then to hear those words, I don't know you. I can't accept you into the presence of my Father because you didn't do what I had told you. You didn't live by faith. You weren't a disciple of Jesus Christ. What sad words. It's not every father or mother. It's not every grandparent or son or daughter who is saying, Lord, Lord, or one who has the right speech or actions or one who prays much. But what does it say? But he that doeth the will of the Father. You know, I have a burden in many Amish churches, and maybe I mentioned it on Friday night. I have many Amish churches and Mennonite churches. We have tremendous blessing. We can speak the language. I'm so blessed when a young person can get up and say what God has done for him, you know, accept the Lord and so forth. But sometimes I'm afraid the language is better than the willingness to follow God. You know? Be that as it may, every person has to search himself on that. He that doeth the will of God. But how can we do the will of the Father? We must know him and have him controlling our lives. And fathers and mothers, do you know God? And do your children say the same about you, about them? Now, would your children say that my father knows God? That my mother knows God? Other babes sometimes come the truth, the truth. I believe it was Billy Sunday that he was on a rush to get to a meeting. He had to preach somewhere, and he was in a hurry. He came out of his motel room and had to catch the train real quick because, you know, preaching is important. A lot of people at the other end are going to wait for him, you know. And here, as he was coming out, and he had his top coat on, and he swung around the corner there, and a young man had his oranges all piled up in a row. And he caught that table with the corner of his top coat, and the oranges went the four ways. And as popular as Billy Sunday was, or I believe it was him again, as popular as he was, he had to make a decision. Is he going to help him or miss the train? You know, he could lose some money maybe by not preaching. He could lose some prestige by not being on an occasion on time. You know, you have to consider that. Yeah. But he stopped. And he went and picked up those oranges for that little fellow. And the little fellow looked up at him and said, "Are you Jesus?" Fathers and mothers, you know, we may have a lot of schedules. We may have to have deals that bring in money, you know, so forth. But can they really say, you know, "Are you Jesus? Will you reach out to me?" Every house that has a home inside will be tested on where you build on. It will be for the wise and the foolish the same. It says here in these verses, the rain came from the top. It says the floods came up from the bottom. And it says the winds blew from every side, north, south, east, and west. The winds blew and they hammered on that house. One home stood and the other fell. And it says it not only fell, but great was the fall thereof. There are many consequences that go when a home fails and falls. Lasting consequences, generation to generation to generation many times. And I realize the Holy Spirit can intervene and bring a man out of the rubble, and praise God for that. But there's still much reaping, still much reaping. 1 Corinthians 3:9-11. It talks about a foundation. there. One of the quotes that men of Simon loved. 1 Corinthians 3. It says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The home. Fathers and mothers, where are you building on this morning? Is it on that solid rock, Jesus Christ? What a big difference, yes. There's a warning here. You're building on a foundation. What foundation is it? Something that is lasting and so forth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father except that." 2 Titus 2:19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If we want our homes to stand, then we must keep our building material clear from insects, the weather, and all those things that are out there to destroy. There are many insects. We have a bed and breakfast at home, and we built this cabin onto our house for bed and breakfast. And we only had maybe 4 or 5 years, and one winter we saw these big ants walking around as we turned up the heat, you know. And that's real encouragement for advertising purposes, you know. Big ants when you have visitors? No, not at all. We had to get it fumigated. But if we would have let that thing continue on, they would have festered behind those walls until it would have fallen, you know. Those carpenter ants, they will eat, they love chewing on wood, I guess. In our province of Ontario, you know, they have sex education for starting in, I don't know, grade 1, grade 2 already in the public system. The other year, a law was passed, I believe it was Bill 89, that says if my son Johnny goes to school and he comes home in the evening and says, "I want to be Sally from now on," then you as parents have no right to interfere with that. Otherwise, the government can come and take your children. Fathers and mothers, rise to the challenge today. I believe there will be more stabbings. There'll be more. We will have more people sitting in prison because they love the Word of God above what modern society professes. We have to be very clear of that. There's going to be a cost. I'm looking for the rapture of the church. I am. But as this time goes on, it'll still become worse and worse. Yes. And I believe in the curriculum, it also says we aren't supposed to say father and mother anymore. You know, like parents, you know, father and mother. We just exclude that from our curriculum. Lord, help us. Lord, help us that we are in that kind of mentality. And the list goes on and on. Just a few, that's worse than carpenter ants in a cabin. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. But Paul said in Romans 1, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Greek or Jew, whoever." Yes, it's there. It's there for 2018 and as long as the Lord stands. This foundation is what saves and is the only foundation that gives the home power to stand in times like these. Yes. In times like these. Matthew 7:15-16, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Do we know them? And in order to know them, this is something that is common within our circles, you know. And in order to know them, you must know the Word of God. Let's continue reading. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Yeah. You shall know them. But we have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. We have to get back to it. It calls the fathers and mothers to beware because of so-called prophets. So-called goodly men will come in sheep's clothing. They will look humble. They will look saintly. They may look like a Mennonite, but they're out to destroy the Word of God and His church. This can be in many ways. It may be by men that come to your door. It sounds good, you know, partially right. Or it can be by the ecumenical movement of our day, you know, like those songs we sing when we all get to heaven. I think we can get technical, politically correct, like the term goes. But if we say, like, when we all get to heaven, and we could sing that this morning, a beautiful song. I love it. But there may be people here that shouldn't be singing that, and we're giving them a false hope when we say we all get to heaven. Because there are people sitting in churches this morning that are not going to heaven. You know, in plain circles. And we say, we sort of comfort them, and we say, "Well, we all get to heaven." Hopefully we do. Hopefully we do. That's just one way. You know, or we can have books like Rick Warren, you know, and his all purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church and so forth. And yet he's a man that says that all songs come from God. I mentioned already earlier. How can a person say that and be biblically correct in a lot of other things? All songs are not from God this morning. Otherwise, you cannot sing like "Go out and kill your policeman" and all the terminology that is in those songs. You know, I mean, it is horrible. It is evil. It is as ungodly as it gets if you know a little bit of what's going on out there. It is extremely evil. And when you start singing those songs, and then we have these mass shootings at the synagogue the other Saturday, and the list goes on and on and on of all the shootings, and we scratch our head and say, "Why? Why?" When those shootings were, of course, my topic isn't on music this morning, but in our area, there was a man that they couldn't find for a day or two, and then he had found him, and he committed suicide. And so I told my wife and said, "I wonder what music he was listening to." Immediately, I was drawn to the music. And then I found out, I knew the parents of this son. They were in a liberal Mennonite church. And then I found out that he was in a soft rock gospel singing. That does it already there. That does it already. And then somebody talked with his mom at the viewing, and she said, "Now he can sing rock and roll in heaven." And we're off in the deep end. No wonder the son was like that if the mother and father were already like that. You know. Do we get the message this morning? When people say "believe only" and you can look and act like the world And there is not a cost for the Christian life. There is no cross. And there is no discipleship needed. Jesus said, if you love me, then you will do my commandments. And that's where the challenge hits the road this morning for fathers and mothers. Are we willing to do the commandments of God by the grace of God? You know, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. It is not a matter of maybe or I have to. You will do what the Word calls you to do as a Christian. Parents, do you know that most books on child training on the market are not biblical? They're not biblical. The authors say, well, let your child throw a tantrum, whatever, you know, and you should try to distract him and get his mind off his desire and focus on something positive. It would be only that easy. It would be only that easy. Or, you know, like modern counseling says, you are like that because dad was like that, and your grandpa and mama, and, you know, so, and we have to dig into the past and try to, you know, something happened when you were a 1-year-old, you can't remember, no, but really something did happen to, let's get back to old-fashioned repentance, you know, old-fashioned repentance, get right with God. I don't know what my parents did to me when I can't remember it. And I'm not going to blame them for the things I do remember. Because I can come and bring that to the Lord. None of your parents were perfect, you know. But if you're harping on that this morning, then your children will be harping on something too. We have to rise up and seek forgiveness from God, you know, and ask to forgive the others, and we can go on and have a relationship with God. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, and he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And this is where, well, even society says, you know, you shouldn't spank your children. And I believe there's a right spot to spank our children. There's padding on a certain area that, it's meant to spank. But how do you do it? What's the manner you spank? You know, am I as broken as the child is when you're done? It's a big difference. You know? And sometimes I had to cry. I didn't want to do this thing. I didn't. But this is the solution. When a child desires his own way above that of his authority, it is not something a father or a mother like. And a mother has to do it if dad isn't home. If it can't, some things you can't push off until he gets home. But it's things we don't look forward to. It is easy to turn and pretend that you did not see the sin nature experienced in your own son or daughter because, you know, it was just a little while ago. Remember the first smile you got from your baby? Somebody has a baby in here this other couple of days ago. It's not long until there's a response. And mothers are better at it than us men, you know. But finally, when we men get a smile out of it, yeah, there's an attachment then too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. But, you know, it doesn't take long until what we call little angels are big devils. If we don't do anything about it. I notice, you go to the grocery store. Things that happen by the counter, we've all seen it. We've all seen it in our homes when you have company. That's when some of these things flare up. Here I was thinking I was getting the message across. Yeah. It's a way of keeping us humble, fathers and mothers. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, well, I just go out and play or do something else or, you know, whatever. or give in to their wimps. There's a time you have to do it. Discipline, whether you have company or not. Don't do it in front of company. No, be courteous. Take them to another room and make sure they know that this is off limits, whatever the issue was. How many times in a church service I came to the back after a morning like this, and a mother said, or a father too, and they were in tears, and they said they didn't get much out of my message this morning. I said, that's okay. If you're fulfilling the will of God, that's more than listening to this fellow, you know. And fathers and mothers, discipline is needed again and again and again. And sometimes, many times, in a Sunday morning until the breakthrough. But praise God, there can be rest. There can be rest. One child, they're all so different. One child you can look at and immediately there's a response. And another one you say, Lord, help me. And that's where James wrote to, if you need wisdom, go to God. Go to God. And through all that, we still have to confess, you know. We've missed it time and time again. You know, to be in the right spirit and to do it in the right manner. It says, if you love your children, you will chasten your children promptly. Like I mentioned, maybe many times. Take courage, parents. Take courage, teachers. How many times a dad or a mom, I mentioned this before, yeah. It can be challenging. But friends, if they grow up and they obey the word of God, and as years fly by, that you may see your children in the mission field. Maybe a preacher, maybe a teacher, another godly father, and another godly mother. What more do you want, parents, that supersedes what the world has to offer out there, and to see young men and young women grow up for God? There's no greater joy. There's nothing worth living for out there, though you may have all the riches in the world. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as the little fellow's dad. It is that one job I dream of. It is the task I think of most. If I'd failed that growing youngster, I'd have nothing else to boast. For though wealth and fame I'd gather, all my future would be sad if I'd failed to be successful as the little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for I'll know I've been successful in that little fellow's dad. The floods will come.
The winds will blow.
And some of these false teachers, which I mentioned before, and writers and so forth, undermining God's word, if a house is not grounded on the only foundation, Jesus Christ, the fall will be great this morning. Many families don't want children anymore because of their own selfish lifestyle. They want to party and be not hindered by cost or what tie down feeling, thus switching to dogs and cats and lavish their love upon them. A while back, I saw an older person, man and wife or whatever they were, I don't know them, but they were going down the road and they had this huge, St. Bernard sitting between them. I thought, Lord help us. How was their courtship like? They would never let a dog in between. But now dogs are more important than fellowship. Cats, you know, so forth. Such a home is already fallen. Yes, it is. When God attached such great importance on selecting a man to become head of his chosen race, what did God say in Genesis 18 and 19? It says, I won't turn to it before a lack of time, but God, Abraham would, and God said, Abraham would command his household after him, and they would keep the ways of the Lord. And that's the challenge for every father and mother this morning. God didn't zero in on what Abraham's lineage was, but he seared in what Abraham was willing to do. And he knew Abraham, he was going to follow through. It meant if he was going to lose his son on account of it, as he would take him up to Mount Moriah, he was going to follow through. And God could use a man like that. And he can use you this morning like that. He can use you mothers this morning for that. If you're willing to follow through, God will pour out the blessings upon you and you can make it through to the end. I have hope for the family of today. Yes, I do. How many fathers and mothers are letting the wind and the floods drown their own children because they were afraid to command and direct their children towards a saving faith in Jesus Christ by their own lives and an example of the crucified life? You are building this morning, but on what is the foundation? Train, discipline is a process. And it is not an accident that it says in Proverbs 22. Let's quickly turn to that. Proverbs 22. Very beautiful verse. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Beautiful verse. Train is number one. You can teach or instruct a few hours per day, but it requires 24 hours per day to train. A train is hooked and fastened to the locomotive. So are the children fastened to the parents, and they will trail you around. They will trail you around. And that's how come many fathers and mothers are saying, oh, I just have to get away. I have to get away somewhere. And I'm not saying it's understand me right. I have to get away from my children because it is so taxing. I can't handle it anymore. I just need refreshment again. You know, go quickly away. The Bible says here, a train is following you, and you are training, and they're watching, and they're learning with thousands of questions a day, possibly. It's tiring. Yes, it is, moms, dads. It's tiring. But they're seeing what you mean to them. Or what the children are seeing, you as parents, what you think of them. If you think that they're just a nuisance, oh, we wouldn't be that rude, would we? But they're really taxing. I can hardly keep my mind together because of my children. You know, I've seen some awful things. And If that's a mentality we as fathers and mothers have, watch out, watch out. We should love to be with our families, spend time together, take them along when you want to go away. It's a training process. It's a short time, very short time. Taxing? Yes. Yeah, it can be. But who are you seeking for wisdom this morning? They're seeing what foundation is important to you. And they will see whether you want them protected from the wind, the storms that come. And they will know whether you're a keeper at home or whether a babysitter is more important to train your children and your parents. They will see that. Somebody is going to train your children, your child, on some foundation, and they will end up at some foundation that they will end up at. We would say as parents, well, you know, send them to school and so forth. But you have to still do your part at home. You know, you have to do your part at home. Not easy, but if you do it willingly, it'll be a blessing beyond words. A blessing beyond words. They're going to follow somebody. Yes, and they will go on one road or the other. And much depends on you and me this morning. Years ago, most houses in town had those picket fences around. In fact, if any of you were in Romania already, almost every property has a fence around it. It's to keep the animals out and the children in. That's what they were meant for. Outside was the road. It was heavily traveled, many on that road. There was a noise on that road. They had the radio blaring. They had the swearing. They had the cursing. They had their vehicles. They had their peer pressure. They had everything going on there. They had the books and the romance and the pornography and the evil toys. But when your children came home, there was one gate, and they unlatched it. And no car could get through, and no horse could get through. But as they stepped inside, they found refuge from the evil that is out there. And children and youth are looking for places like that, that are different than what the world has to offer. Much different. Ephesians 5. Oh my, it takes so long here. Ephesians 5. Just a few verses in 19 to 21. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Are these the songs that you hear, that your children can hear? The books that you read, is this honorable to God in your home? And not, and expect the fall to be great. The evil influences are kept on the outside on the broad way, or have they made inroads in among us, that we're more concerned about what goes on in the sports world out there, and dad is excited and he comes home and, you know, this party, what do you call them? Teams run. Yeah, there we go. This team won. And your children will catch on to that quick enough. Yeah. They love those things quick enough without dad promoting it. Yeah. Rise up to the men, fathers, mothers. Another thing I forgot to mention is this. If your children love going to the washroom in church, you know, have to get a drink. The preacher's boring. He's dry. I don't want to be dry. Off they go. Back and forth, you know. Parents, be awake. Discipline starts right there already. They don't need to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes unless they have a real medical problem. And parents, we have to discern. And God give us wisdom in that, you know. Yeah. You're in church, whether you love the preacher or not. Yeah. Yeah. We're here to worship God. And all those small things, they will understand. When the preacher says, okay, let's all rise for prayer or whatever, Let your young boys and girls rise with you, and unless they're sleeping, God knows sleeping beauty when he sees one. Let them rise too. You know, you're doing it. Obedience to all those little things. And oh, Lord, give us wisdom. I know when praying, oftentimes we're standing, I put my hand over on my son's head. You know, you could pray, but you could also sense which way his head is turning, and so your hand clamps down a little harder, and whew, you know, oh, okay, you just keep looking one way. They didn't know much about prayer, but they learned. Very, just a few things, you know, like that. Yes, in your home, the internet, and all those things that are on there, you know. Do you have blockers on your internet? Or can your children just get whatever they want? Yeah. And will be they turning away from God, and you wonder why the fall was so great. Yes. The slang, the clothing. Parents, you're in control of that. When the end thing is to have the dress sweeping the sidewalk as they walk, it's because it's a fad. It isn't practical. And I promote long dresses when I say that, but, you know, they could be up a few inches. They'd still be modest. So many things, you know. When the sideburns, I still remember when Elvis Presley and the sideburns came down to here, you know, and so everybody else had to have them. Yeah. Where are we getting our signals from? And parents, beware. You're called to know already in your life. You're called to keep some of those things out on the freeway, not inside the fence. Those are fads, you know, on and on. You as parents are supporting, I trust, the church that you're with this morning with all your heart. If not, I could get family after family a record to show to you. I work with people, and the father of the home came, and yesterday, the preacher said this again and that, and really, you know, why was he there? He was never happy with what he heard. It wasn't all the preacher's fault either. But his children are all in the world. Yeah. His children are all in the world. And guess why? Because father and dad and mom were not enthused about the things of God. Support it where you are. They will see whether or not where your affection is. In Colossians 3, it says, set your affections on things above, those things that are godly, and all so forth. You know that the world is big this morning, and it's devouring. Sin is rampant, and your children, when they step off the freeway, that there's still one place, a seclusion, away from the mad rush of greed. What do they see in your home? Do they just see crafts? And they don't know. When your visitors come, you don't have to pound some, get right with God. But can they see on the wall already that you love God? Yeah. Often, you know, when you have visitors in that are ungodly, pray a little longer. The meal, you know. Oh, yeah, pour it right on. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. You don't have to pounce on that. Be a witness of the grace of God. I know, I have to. This is already close to 1 o'clock back there. When we had some Hutterite friends in from out west, and we were out in the woods, and we had hot dogs and roasting them. And he said, well, a good glass of beer would taste good with this. You know, it goes together. That's the norm out there. And I said, well, if you want to drink your beer, go out on the road. Go out on the road. This place, I don't have a literal fence around it, but I want a spiritual fence. Yeah. Those things I won't allow in my property. Not that I told him he should be drinking out there, but I said, no, he was surprised that I was so rude. Okay, that's all right. Your children will know what you stand for,
what you don't stand for. When fathers and mothers are building, where are you building on? The winds come, the rains descend, the floods will rise as the water pushes its way through the picket fence and laps at the front door of your home. 1 Corinthians 16:43, it says, quit you like men. And in our English term, that's what a lot of men are doing. They're quitting their role in the home. Quit means here, rise up, O man of God, and do the duty you're called to do. Make it easy for the next oncoming generation to embrace the same faith that you have. Will your home stand the test? Are you hearing the word of God? Have you been doing those things that the word of God calls you to? Are you enthused about coming to church? That's another one. If you're always late for church, your children will wonder, where is your enthusiasm? Even missing one verse of the song. Yeah. This is the most important thing of the week, to worship together as a body of believers looking for Christ's return. Oh, dearly beloved, the challenge is great. You can't do it alone. We need each other. We need the wisdom of God. And friends, be humble enough when somebody else admonishes you. You know, the preacher's children, don't touch them, because they're as perfect as you can get them. Really? No. They're no different than anybody else, but do you get the point? My children, your children, where sometimes we have school problems and things. So, really? And the parents side in automatically, because my child would not do that. And I realize there can be politics there too. But let's work together. This morning I want all of your children to make it to glory, all of your children. And I trust you have the same heartbeat for our children, that we'll make it through to glory. And thus we can help each other along in humility and the spirit of meekness. You know, sometimes we have a flaw. This was the first time that we raised children. We're new at it. Maybe an older brother could save us some headaches, you know, taking their advice. That's just, so many things. It's very practical. Very practical. If not, then the fall of our home will be great. And it'll affect generations down the road. And hell will be enlarged because fathers and mothers are not doing their part. Lord, help us to build on that foundation that will stand forever. And praise God for that this morning. Yes, praise God for that. Just want to close with another poem here to close it off. Somewhere in here it is. Are all the children in? The night is falling. The storm clouds gather in the threatening west. The lowing cattle seek a friendly shelter. The birds hie away to their nest. The thunder crashes and wilder grows the tempest. The darkness settles o'er the fearful dim. Come shut the door and gather round the hearthstone. Are all the children in? Are all the children in? The night is falling when gilded sin doth walk about the streets, for at last it biteth like a serpent. Poison are the stolen sweets. O parents, guard the feet of inexperience too prone to wander in the paths of sin. Oh, shut the door, a love against temptation. Are all the children in? Are all the children in? The night is falling. The night of death is hastening on apace. The Lord is calling. Enter thou thy chamber and tarry there a space. And when he comes, the King in all his glory, who died the shameful death our hearts to win, oh, may the gates of heaven shut about us with all the children in.